Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome back. This is episode number 246. We are joined again today by Mark Shapiro of EB Call Center. That's Executive Boutique Call Center. We were previously joined by Mark in episode 239, so you can go back and listen to his origin story there. But this episode, we deep dive more into his outsourcing service and how he differentiates it and how he can add value to your business. So a great episode, and I really enjoy talking and sharing ideas, outsourcing ideas, business ideas with Mark. So I hope you enjoy too. Hi everyone, we are joined by Mark Shapiro again of Executive Boutique Call Center. Hi Mark, how are you?
Hi Derek, I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. And I mentioned previously in the last episode that we met in New York for the first time, funnily enough. And at the moment now you're back in New York and I'm in Manila. And this is often how the outsourcing relationships work, yeah, across the countries and time zones. But Mark, it's good to have you back. In this episode, I want to deep dive into Executive Boutique Call Center. And the reason why I've got you here and the reason why I see value in it is because, you know, to have a good conversation with, you know, seasoned professionals and the owners of outsourcing suppliers, then I think there's huge value and a lot of insight that we can really draw from this for the listeners, for business people, for people in outsourcing. So I really appreciate your time with us. And I suppose, just a brief recap for those that didn't listen to the previous episode. How on earth did you find yourself outsourcing in Cebu, Mark?
Came about it in a strange way. I practiced law for about 14 years in New York City as a commercial real estate lawyer and was looking to do something else. And my partner, my now partner, had been working in Cebu sourcing furniture with certain furniture manufacturers there and saw the outsourcing and call center business growing up. And we started a virtual assistant business and realized very quickly that was not a great model and have over the last 10 years, morphed from having a small handful of clients to having over about close to 700 employees and about 1,000 seats and somewhere around 30 clients that we support. So, yeah, it's really been a great trajectory over the last 10 years.
Incredible. And, you know, again, the differences between the countries, it's you mentioned you're heading up to about 1,000 staff, and it's just incredible, really, isn't it? You know, that's really a huge organization within the US. And in the Philippines, it's obviously a good size organization, but it's more the norm in the Philippines, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do not compete with the big boys of the world, which these names probably won't mean a lot to everybody else, but companies like Convergys and Sykes and Teleperformance, which have tens of thousands of employees across the globe in all of the English-speaking countries, whether it's Central America, the Caribbean, South America, the Middle East, India. So, and they really provide services to the Fortune 500s of the world, and we really focus our efforts on the small and medium-sized businesses.
Mm. But, you know, I see incredible value in the services that the collective outsourcing sector provide because it's, you know, you have 1,000 staff, which means you do a hell of a lot more hiring, HR, staff management, performance management than probably any average SMB in the US. You know, if a company's got maybe 15, 20 people and they're looking to outsource services, then I think they can get a lot of confidence that, you know, by having 1,000 people running smoothly, it shows a lot of kind of operational sophistication, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And keep in mind that it's our clients range. It's not like 1,000 people working for one client. Our clients range in. So everything we do is on a dedicated basis. Instead of you hiring five people to do a particular function in office, you're hiring five specific individuals that have been screened and interviewed and have the criteria that our clients are looking for. So our clients are ranging in size from having five dedicated people to several clients that have over 100 people, and then everything in the middle, 10, 20, 30, 50 people. But so we're essentially becoming an expert in each of those processes for each of those clients. So yeah, it is a lot of work, but there is, a framework that we use for each of the clients.
And how does it work then? Because you are a trained lawyer, you've spent many years in that field in New York. You went on your journey of what started as a call center. You yourself did some of the sales training, and you did a lot of call center training yourself. There's a huge amount of executive experience there. People come to you, they have dedicated agents. Can you explain the relationship between the employer and their agents or staff, and then you, the outsourcing supplier, but also the person that is there with them on site? How does the relationship work in terms of process design, process management, or do you stay away from that end of things?
No, absolutely. I'm very involved because I am the front line of our sales team, and one of my most important jobs is to screen out people who I think would not be a good fit within our organization. So I take calls all day, explain to people, why I can't work with you, and I'll quite often refer them to somebody else who might be able to help them. So in that interview process with the potential client, we're really learning, what their needs are, why they're looking to outsource, what challenges they're currently having, and to see if we could really help them. And that intake process of understanding, what services they're looking for, really becomes the foundation for the services we ultimately provide. Obviously, we get into much more detail once they sign up with us, but each account essentially has there's an operations manager for the whole center. There's for larger account, there's campaign managers who oversee the whole campaign. Individual agents are managed by a team leader, and there's typically about anywhere from 10 to 20 people on a team managed by a team leader who's managed by the campaign manager who's managed by the and kind of peripheral to all of that, you have quality assurance peoples, you have trainers who focus on the training, and you have subject matter experts who kind of walk the floor and make sure that the people can get their answers quickly if there are issues. So there's kind of a whole panoply of people who are involved in the process.
Yeah, it's incredible sophistication, isn't it? And I think people in the West as well, they don't quite realize the hierarchy. There's more of a hierarchy structure in the Philippines, isn't there? And I think the rank and file workers appreciate that support more and that structure. But that's then a lot of reliability to the clients, knowing that there are these systems, structures, processes in place that help augment the results for them.
Sure, and the clients are intimately involved in this. We have video conferencing rooms that allow the clients to see and talk to their managers and their agents. Many clients, certainly larger clients, send representatives out to do training just to oversee the team and meet the team and understand the process. I mean, our biggest and best clients are call centers in the US or companies that have call centers in the US, and they're either, looking to shift some of those people to the Philippines, they're looking to expand instead of continuing to hire in the US. But that doesn't mean that all of them are like that. Certainly, so there are some clients that just have a small staff and they're looking to expand or replace that staff by people in our office.
Fantastic. And what is the breadth of services that you offer then? You have foundations in call center, but I think that's excuse me, because the industry itself has very deep foundations in the call center. But what are you finding demand for now, and what sort of services do you offer?
Well, they kind of fall into to three big categories. You have, inbound calls, outbound calls, and then non-voice work. And we certainly, so our the bulk of what we do are, the traditional inbound customer support and technical support for companies like e-commerce companies. We do work with law firms and medical offices. We do a lot of patient support for doctors and hospitals. But some of the largest clients typically are the outbound clients, where we do a lot of lead generation for. We do a lot of work in the home improvement leads for the education industry, for the insurance industry, for the real estate industry, where we're talking to consumers about things that they need. But on the back office side, there's certainly a fair amount of work to be done in things like data entry and accounting and bookkeeping. We work with a large insurance company where we do report writing and proofreading. And what's amazing is to get the job as the report writer and the proofreader, I guarantee that most Americans could not pass the grammar test necessary to get that job. So there's, and then certainly we do for many companies, we've done database building where we do a lot of online research and filling in databases. Companies come to us and they need they have hundreds of thousands of people in their database or their CRM. They want us to go through and clean it out. And when I say clean it out, meaning call everyone, check to make sure that person's still alive or check to make sure that business is still there and that's their number. So there's a pretty broad range of things that we do.
It's incredible, huh? So, Mark, I get a few inquiries for this, and maybe you can shed some light on it. But if I have recently just built a widget and I would love 1,000 widgets sold, can I come to you and outsource that? Can you sell my widgets for me?
It really depends what it is and a lot of times when people call me up and they say they want to sell something and it takes them 10 or 15 minutes to explain to me what it is they want to sell, that's a sure sign that it's probably not a good fit for us. Because if you, the founder, can't explain to me in a few sentences what it is you want to sell, but let's assume that it is something you can sell. We have a number of sales campaigns, but they're certainly typically multi-call complex sales are certainly very challenging to do on an outsource basis. Not saying it can't be done, but the things that we do call on typically are, more consumer product things, not complicated business products.
And how long does it take? I would imagine there's a lot of iteration, there's a lot of testing. Can you set up, I see you as an expert in the field for sales, and not just sales, but lead gen and generating interest. There's a lot of BPOs that do more generalist things now, so it's really good to find, true specialists. And what is the life cycle like of setting up a team so that they are humming, and is it kind of a 3 months, 6 months time investment to really sort of test and iterate things? Or can you find that you can, because of your history and your experience, you can now build a team and get results pretty quickly?
Well, one of the biggest factors in figuring out how quickly you can do it and how successful you're going to be is the company that is doing the outsourcing. Have they been, if companies call me and they say, listen, we've been doing this process for 10 years, we know exactly how to do it, we have all the training material, we have the trainers who could do the training, we've got the scripting, and we really know how to do this, and they're just transferring that information to us, typically that can be ramped up pretty quickly, and I'll talk a little bit about the timeline and what goes into that. For companies that have never outsourced, they don't have any training material prepared, they've never done any of the actual training themselves, they're going to need to do a lot of legwork on their end to be prepared. And we have been in the situation where someone says, yeah, I'm ready to go. And then all of a sudden we get, 5 or 10 agents in a room ready to train. And you realize the company that's trying to do that training really isn't prepared. And that is a recipe for disaster. But in terms of the time it really does take to ramp up a team, and typically teams start at 5 or 10 agents with us. Bigger companies, which is why we don't handle it. If you're the AT&T, you may ramp up a team of 100 or 200 people at once. We're not geared to do that. We're going to start at 20 people would be pushing it for us, but typically the typical ramp-up size is 5 to 10 people. There's usually a during the contract process, we've signed an agreement. Usually takes us anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks to put together the team. Quite often we let the agents, so after we've identified them, interviewed them, talked to them, we think this is an appropriate group of people. We'll give the some of our clients are happy to let us make that decision. Other clients want to talk to them and interview them and make sure they're happy with their team, and we're fine doing that. And we'll do that even before they give us any money. That is that, as long as they signed an agreement, we want to make sure they're happy with their team. Once that team is in place, we really want to start the training quickly. Obviously, we can't hire people and then start a training 2 weeks later. Those people might not be around. So we want to start that training quickly. And then, in terms of the time, for simple processes, sometimes training can take, 2 to 4 days. For more complicated things, it could take 2 to 4 weeks. That's not normal, but for a dedicated customer, we have a potential client that sells, they've got about 10,000 things that they sell, all related to a do-it-yourself product that's sold in Home Depot type stores. But the agents are really going to need to know a lot, and we would expect the training to take probably, 2 to 4 weeks to really become an expert at what they do.
Incredible. And cost then, let's just focus on the sales. Maybe it's the same structure for everything. But you do see a lot of different price structures within sales itself. Can people pay you just for results only, or are they paying for staff time? How does that work?
Yeah, we don't take on any purely pay for performance. In fact, we don't take on any performance work at all, whereas we're looking to get a flat hourly rate per person. And anything that has a sales component or even a lead generation component, it's mandatory for sales, less so for lead generation. We ask the clients to put together a bonus program for the agents. For us to be able to go out and hire seasoned salespeople with experience, salespeople are salespeople because they want to make what would theoretically be the big bucks in the Philippines. People who are happy being a kind of, they show up for work, they do their customer support service, and they go home are usually willing to, it, they understand that it's not a big commission structure that they're going to be working on. And we typically have to pay a higher base rate for those salespeople. They typically need to be more conversational, have a sales mentality. One of our more successful sales program, we work for a company that sells first discount, first class, or business class airline tickets for international flights.
Cool.
And the agents make a lot of money. But they work really hard, and it's a great program for them. It's a good program for us. But we make our hourly rate, and we let the agents make their commissions along with their base salary.
And there's a transparency to that, isn't there? I mean, people are, I think people need to realize that it takes an upfront investment by the business owner or whoever they are, because you've got to build a team. There's no way of getting around it, really, is there? So it takes that upfront investment in training, in salaries, and also you need to onboard people so that there is a culture, they see a future, and they have the motivation. Yeah, you can't really sidestep the general needs of the employees to feel they belong and feel secure and feel excited by their roles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're the, the first week of sales is never going to be as good as the second week or as good as the, second or month and as good as the second year. So it certainly takes time in any campaign. There's a learning process and a an ongoing training process that has to be adhered to, and we look for continuous improvement.
Yeah, it's incredible. And where do you see the future of all of this going? Do you see it, continuing to grow? Do you see a building awareness of outsourcing in small and medium-sized businesses in the US? Where do you see the trajectory of all this?
Yeah, I see certainly as the wave of higher wages and wages are definitely getting pushed up throughout the U.S., which is great for the U.S. economy, great for the U.S. worker. But there are some businesses that just can't be profitable at that level, and they are going to continue to see outsourcing as a way to squeeze more profit out of their business, and leave the higher paying positions to positions that somebody has to physically be there, or it takes a specific skill set. If you read the papers, you would think that artificial intelligence is going to put us out of business, and maybe it will in 10 years. Hopefully, there will always be some role for humans on the telephone, at least in escalated calls. But I would imagine that a lot of the simpler roles that we do will be taken over by computers at someday, but hopefully I'll be retired by then.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a concern for outsourcing, but it's really just it's a generalized global concern, isn't it? If kind of 60% of the general jobs go, that's not, really just a concern for the Philippines
Sure.
or outsourcing, is it? It's
Yeah, I mean, it's an issue for the taxi business and trucking business, and anything that they claim is going to be able to be done remotely or through computers. But I do think that the business will continue to grow. We're certainly seeing lots of calls and lots of demand, and having a lot of conversations, and so.
Yeah, incredible. Thank you so much, Mark. So, if anyone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about the Executive Boutique Call Center, how can they do that?
Well, the easiest way to get information is to go to our website, which is ebcallcenter.com, and all of our contact information is on there. And certainly, they could put in a form or call us directly. Happy to talk and give information anytime.
Amazing. Thanks for your time, Mark. It's been fun.
All right, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, that was Mark Shapiro of EB Call Center. If you want to get in touch with Mark, then of course go to the show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/246. Enjoy.